all physical things in this universe that doesn't have that connection with the karmic nature, they cannot come to this existential world. They can only arise through the mind process. The form and mind is the first to arise. And when the form and mind arise, energy comes to be. That's why if you come to understand physics, science, what is matter? Matter is trapped energy. You understand? That's why Einstein realized the formula E equals to mc squared. E is energy, equals to the mass of that matter times c squared. C is the speed of light. And that figure is very huge. That's why it can release a lot of energy. That's how nuclear capability or nuclear bomb can come to be. So this is what scientists has realized. So trapped energy is what matter is all about. So if the beginning of thought, like the Buddha said, don't try to understand creation, is it? Inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned living being to fall through the karmic process until what they are now. So that one, unless you are the Sammāsambuddha, is inconceivable. So what happened is the Surangama Sutta described this. He said, initially, there was nothing. There was just that nature. Then how did the first thought of ignorance arise? They call it the, what they call, primordial mind. Means the original mind. That one somehow, through nature's condition, is yet entangled and stirred. Then it conditions something out. We call it the first thought of ignorance. That's why the Buddha said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought that conditions living being into what it is. And from that first thought, which is very, very primitive, very elementary, it becomes more and more sophisticated, until it develops energy, then it takes form. That's why the five aggregate come to be. Then through the karmic process, it creates further. Then in the Surangama Sutta, he say the initial first thought that is being conditioned, that one become the knower. Understand? The knower become the traveler in space and time. That is how the egoic mind arises. And from that ego, it solidifies, it crystallizes into matter, form and mind. Initially translucent and all those things. Then it becomes more and more dense. That's how human being, living being. Then later on, all the planets, everything, the universe, you know, all these are energy. Even the scientists come up with all the theory or some hypothesis of the beginning of time. They always postulate very lightly now. The most popularly accepted is the Big Bang. Understand now? Everything started with the Big Bang. We are now through the, not only the Hubble telescope, now they got the white, what is the name of the latest telescope? Anyway, that is the latest one. That can see a lot further. And they can see the beginning of time. Means the universe when it happened, at the very beginning. Of course, they say at the very beginning also, maybe a few hundred light years away, understand not? Or after the Big Bang, they say. Because all the images that they receive actually can match what they understand based on the hypothesis that they have. If it's an expanding universe, this thing will happen. And because light takes a long time to travel, you remember? If it's one light year, you know how far is that distance or not? The speed of light is 168,000 miles per second. How fast is that? Very fast. Understand? But if that speed of light travels for 1 year, it's only 1 light year. No? And that is already very far. No? But the one that they can see, 16.5 billion light years. No? That's why they say the universe is still expanding, unending, and very vast. They cannot understand. Yeah. Then there are a lot of very fantastic, what they call data that they receive. They see all this black hole. They say black hole is no more a hypothesis. It's already proven it exists. That's how galaxies collide. Do you know in our Milky Way alone, our this so-called Milky Way, it's not a universe yet. No? You know how many sun is there? No? 400 billion sun inside the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is just a small part of the entire universe. No? That's why that immensity you cannot understand. No? Unless you go into this awareness nature to develop all this understanding. So the Buddha's wisdom, the Mahayana teaching, is not what people can fathom or understand the extensiveness of its understanding. And during the Buddha's time, 2,600 years ago, do you know they asked him a question? All these stars up there, what are they? And the Buddha's answer was what? He said, the number of stars up there is more than all the sand of the Ganges River. You know the Ganges River, how long? And all the sand there, each every sand is a star or a potential sun. Then how did he know? Do you understand? So that shows you that the wisdom of the Buddha is not like most what they call religion, that come out with their religion, then when scientists discover something, the religious book break down, cannot stand up to that investigative. That's why Einstein quoted this, and he mentioned, he said of all the religion he looked at, the only religion that can stand up to the progress of science is Buddhism, what the Buddha has realized. So this is not to glorify Buddhism, but to explain to you why that nature is very unique and very special. Understand? And what the Buddha is trying to teach us, this awareness-based meditation or sati, is to lead you back to that, to understand that. And you all still don't really fathom or understand how unique that teaching is, how immense the understanding of that teaching is. So don't think that it's just awareness-based meditation or sati. This is the one that links you back, understand, to the source, to comprehend all this, the beginning of time, the beginning of creation.